Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is now the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race. Right now on the site, see Anna Sales video series on independent voters. And Indies, we want your voice on itsafreecountry.org. So go and post your thinking. 2012 is starting now at itsafreecountry.org. So here's an unusual essay topic for what I did on my summer vacation. A group of foreign students from China, Romania, Ukraine, and elsewhere went on strike last week in Pennsylvania at a Hershey distribution plant. The students are part of a cultural exchange program sponsored by the State Department and permitted to work in the United States under J-1 visas. The J-1 visa program is the largest guest worker program in the country and brings about 120,000 foreign student workers, I've read, to the United States each year. So let's talk about this unusual job action. Somebody striking in the United States, just not Americans, and J-1 life in general. By the way, don't you know American students who couldn't find summer jobs this year? Our guests are Jennifer Gordon, professor of labor and immigration law at Fordham University, and Jason Nark, a reporter with the Philadelphia Daily News. Jennifer is in our studio. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
And Jason is in Wildwood on the Jersey Shore. Jason, you haven't been evacuated yet?
No, I am hiding in a condo.
In a condo compound, not to be raided by anti-hurricane rebels. Okay. So, Jennifer Gordon, what is a J-1 visa?
So the J-1 visa was created by Congress in 1961. The idea being in the Cold War, we needed to build not just countries as allies, but individuals. We were going to bring people into the United States and show them what this country was about. And the State Department actually still says on its website that the visa is created, and I'm quoting here from the website, to promote mutual understanding between the people of the United States and the people of other countries, and to develop lasting and meaningful relationships with a valuable opportunity to experience the U.S. and our way of life.
God, it sounds like they're here for sensitivity groups and seminars about life in Ukraine versus life in Wildwood.
I think they got quite a seminar, maybe more than they were expecting when they found themselves at the Hershey plant, earning between $1 and $3.50 an hour after you take out deductions and fees.
Really?
And working, you know, some of those students are covered in bruises. They have back injuries. They're working late into the night. This is far from a cultural exchange.
And Jason, and this is not to say that this is the typical J-1 experience, and we'll talk more broadly about it again in a minute. But Jason, you've been covering this Hershey situation. Who are the students affected and what happened?
Well, I haven't done too much with the Hershey situation. I'm more familiar with the situation in general in New Jersey on the coast.
Okay.
And I've never gotten the same sort of level of discontent from the J-1 students I've talked to. They definitely work a lot. Some of them have complained mostly about where they're forced to live. I mean, a lot of these kids will come to Atlantic City, and, you know, they're living in some pretty bad areas of Atlantic City. I mean, there was one student who was shot and killed last year, and I don't think they would have any concept of what, you know, the worst parts of Atlantic City could be, you know, when they're filling out these applications at their home with their parents around.
This is a revelation to me, Jennifer, because I see J-1 students every summer working in the Adirondacks, and they seem to be having a fine old time. I mean, you know, they're living in nice air. They're certainly working hard, but they're doing student jobs. I work behind a counter scooping ice cream and in a furniture store as a stock boy and washing pots in a summer camp kitchen when I was a teenager as a native-born American. So what's the line for exploitation here?
Well, I think we got to be clear, right? The J-1 visa program has its good users and it has its bad users. When the program started, there were maybe 28,000 exchange visitors coming in a year. Now for the J-1 as a whole, we're up to 350,000.
Oh, is it that many? So that 120,000 number
is
dated. It's just students.
It's just the student work, summer work visa.
Okay.
Summer travel work visa. And So what's happened is that some employers have realized that the J-1 visa can be used essentially as an unregulated guest worker program. We should be clear, this was never created as a guest worker program. We have those. They're regulated by the Department of Labor. They're regulated by the Department of Homeland Security. This was supposed to be a cultural exchange. But some employers have realized that they can get full-time workers through this program much more cheaply than through other sources. And in fact, one of the sponsor recruitment agencies has a savings calculator on their site where employers can figure out how much they would save by hiring a J-1 over a U.S. worker.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls here, and I wonder if we happen to have any listeners right now who are here on a J-1 visa. Students here for the summer who happen to have discovered WNYC or any other J-1 visa holders, we would love to hear from you about your experiences as guest workers in the United States. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. J-1 visa holders, hello, welcome to America. Call into a talk show, 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or anyone who employs J-1 students, why hire them rather than Americans? Or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC. But J-1 students, we would love to hear from you, or those who employ J-1 students, 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Jason, you want to tell us more about life for the J-1s on the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, down here in Wildwood and Ocean City, there's a lot of amusements. I mean, a lot of them sort of luck of the draw, depending on how well they speak English. You know, they'll be out there dealing with people on an everyday basis, operating rides, being lifeguards in water parks, and some of them, you know, wind up having to cook fries in a hot kitchen all summer. Mostly depending on their English. But I think one thing that could be telling about the situation in Hershey is that these are all, every kid I've met, they're all college students. They all have very, you know, high pedigrees at home. They're educated. They know when something is right and something's not, you know, something doesn't seem like it's up to par. And that's probably why they're, you know, out there in Hershey when they're seeing the situation out there.
And do you think that this could spread? Have you done reporting on the Hershey situation being the talk of Point Pleasant among the J-1 workers?
I don't know if the J-1 workers down here are too aware of what's happening in Hershey because they don't really get a chance to get out much. A lot of them, they will pad like an extra 2 or 3 weeks at the end of their stay in order to go see whatever they can of the country. I mean, some that I've talked to said they work 15 to 18 hours a day. I mean, they will work another job that their first J-1 employer isn't even aware of, apparently. But most of the employers I've spoken to have reiterated to me again and again that they could not function in the summer without the J-1 students because of college schedules for American students.
Because college students go back. This weekend is move-in day for a lot of American universities. But I don't know. That's 1 week before Labor Day. But, you know, it seems like every summer in June we do a story about how American kids can't find summer jobs, Jennifer, because there's a shortage of summer jobs. And now suddenly we're talking about all these students who are being imported from other countries to do the same summer jobs, potentially. Is it just because employers can more easily take advantage of them?
Is it just because employers can more easily take advantage of them that they're hiring those
foreign workers?
Well, and I think Jason gave the reason that employers most often give. The reason that they don't most often give, but that I think is equally true, is that these workers can't leave. If they leave the job, then they lose their visa. So in addition to being able to stay on through Labor Day weekend or whenever, they literally can't leave. And so I think the appeal of a certain workforce and a cheaper workforce leads employers to ignore some of those students who might be willing to stay just a little bit longer.
Lee in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You're here on a J-1 visa?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I've actually had a pretty great experience here.
What are you doing?
I was doing an internship with a clothing company, which is, you know, something that to have the opportunity to do that in New York is incredible, and I'm glad that I could have it organized for me.
Uh-huh. 'Cause you're trying to go into the fashion business?
Yeah, but I'm not actually in school for it at this point, and that sort of made getting the J-1 visa difficult.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, once I got it, it was good. Yeah.
And how does it work with you not being a student? Is it temporary to a certain date?
Yeah, it's 4 months long, so it's like a summer work program. And I unfortunately had to pay, you know, about a month's rent in order to make it happen. So I feel like it's very much...
What does that mean? You had to pay some people off, bribe some people, or that's
not,
what the application...
Not bribing. There's a program in Canada called SWAP where they organize for students to be able to work in the States, and they have a pretty... Like, they have a great success rate for it because you have to get a sponsor.
And Jennifer, read that first line again from your... you had a New York Times op-ed, right? And about what the cultural exchange element was supposed to be?
You want from the State Department website?
Yeah.
That it's supposed to be a promoting of mutual understanding between the people of the U.S. and people of other countries, providing an extremely valuable opportunity to experience the U.S. and our way of life.
Do you think that granting you this J-1 visa, Lee, has accomplished that State Department objective?
I think it has. I mean, I personally have taken a serious advantage of my time here, and I feel like New York is a great way to New York is a great place to experience culture. I mean, so yeah, I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Jennifer,
I think it's key to remember that when the J-1 visa works. It works. But I believe that among students, experiences like Lee's are in the minority, and there's plenty of times when it's just not achieving those goals.
Lee, thank you very much. I think maybe Franco in Brooklyn had a different experience. Franco, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for talking about this. I came to U.S. 5 years ago with my G1 visa, and I get really bad experience with McDonald's. I started working in upstate in the border with Canada.
At a McDonald's?
Yeah. We're living eight people in one room, eating hot dogs all day. In one day, we don't have any money, so we try to buy cat food. And McDonald's, they sell us the food. We haven't to throw out all the food, so we tried to pick it out, the food from the trash.
Was it it sounds really bad. Was it represented to you in some other way before you come? Were you led to expect a different experience?
Yeah, so this is the more important issue because, you know, it's just the G1 visa. It's like I pay $1,000. I'm from Colombia. I pay $1,000 in Colombia for the contract. So they have it. This is kind of business for the nonprofit organizations. They management the sponsors. So they ask for $1,000 or $1,200 for just find the sponsor. So we have to pay in advance for that and came to try to recover all the money.
Thank you very much for your call. We are just about out of time. But, Jennifer Gordon, what's the big picture here? Do you think that the Hershey situation, which made the news, has brought this whole sort of underground economy that includes some exploitation to light and that things might actually change?
About the J-1 program, I have some hope. Now we've got our eyes on it. But I think the danger here is focusing on this as a sort of exotic specimen. And I think the really important point is the big picture point that this is just one example of the hollowing out of work in the United States. As corporations are looking for ways to have workers cheaper, finding J-1s is one way to do that. Outsourcing from union jobs, as these Hershey jobs were, paying $18 an hour compared to $1 to $3 that these student workers are getting, and sending the jobs out of the country, it's all part of the same thing. And we have to look at this as a good jobs issue and address that from a policy perspective.
And Jason Nark, reporter with the Philadelphia Daily News in Wildwood on the Jersey Shore, a last word.
You know, it's relevant today. I mean, between Atlantic County and Cape May County, there's probably a couple thousand J-1 visa students here right now. Both these counties are under mandatory evacuations for this hurricane. And, you know, I really have no idea where these students could go. They might wind up having to be bused out of here and spending the next 5 or 6 days sleeping in a high school auditorium with practically nothing.
What I did on my summer vacation. Jason, no surfing Irene now, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Jennifer Gordon, professor of labor and immigration law at Fordham University. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, just a few minutes ago, President Obama made a statement about the coming of Hurricane Irene, and here it is.
I cannot stress this highly enough. If you are in the projected path of this hurricane, you have to take precautions now. Don't wait. Don't delay. We all hope for the best, but we have to be prepared for the worst. All of us have to take this storm seriously. You need to listen to your state and local officials. And if you are given an evacuation order, please follow it. Just to underscore this point, we ordered an aircraft carrier group out to sea to avoid this storm yesterday. So if you're in the way of this hurricane, you should be preparing now. If you aren't sure how to prepare your families or your home or your business for a hurricane or any other emergency, then you can visit ready.gov, that's ready.gov, or listo.gov, that's listo.gov. Now, since last weekend, FEMA's been deploying its incident management assistance teams to staging areas and communities up and down the coast. FEMA has millions of liters of water, millions of meals, and tens of thousands of cots and blankets, along with other supplies, pre-positioned along the eastern seaboard. And the American Red Cross has already begun preparing shelters in North Carolina and other states. These resources are all being coordinated with our state and local partners, and they stand ready to be deployed as necessary. But again, if you are instructed to evacuate, please do so. It's going to take time for first responders to begin rescue operations and to get the resources we've pre-positioned to people in need. So the more you can do to be prepared now, making a plan, make a supply kit, know your evacuation route, follow instructions of your local officials, the quicker we can focus our resources after the storm on those who need help the most. To sum up, all indications point to this being a historic hurricane. Although we can't predict with perfect certainty the impact of Irene over the next few days, the federal government has spent the better part of last week working closely with officials in communities that could be affected by this storm to see to it that we are prepared. So now's the time for residents of these communities in the hours that remain to do the same. And FEMA and Craig Fugate, the director of FEMA, will be keeping people closely posted in the next 24, 48 hours. Thank you very much.
President Obama speaking a few minutes ago on the impending landfall of Hurricane Irene. Of course, this is going to affect the New York metropolitan area in one way or another over this weekend. And we will come back after a short break and talk more about preparing for Irene. Stay with us.